that you don't. I've done things that you won't. There's nothing like a trail of blood to find your way back home. I was waiting for my host. What came next was so much worse. It took a funeral to make me feel alive. Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes and see that life is...
Chapter 7. Fox ticks another item off his bucket list, completely satisfied to know that the council chairs are just as comfortable as they look. "Here," Mace says with clear amusement, and the sight of Mace sitting on the arm of his chair, handing him calf, comes right out of one of Fox's long day fantasies, the guilty, secret ones that are more about back rubs than blowjobs. Fox doesn't flush, though, because he's earned this. And he takes the small cup, catches Mace's wrist, and strokes a thumb over his knuckles. "Thanks," he says, meeting Mace's eyes. And Mace raises a brow, even as he turns his hand slightly, catches Fox's just lightly for a moment. "I think you've earned it," he says, amused. And he doesn't mean because Fox killed the future emperor, but... Fox feels like making Mace laugh probably earned him some calf anyways. Particularly when Obi-Wan Kenobi is slouched across from them in his chair, freshly shaved and more baby-faced than Fox ever could have imagined, glaring like he's had all the wrongs in the universe done to him. "My form's a little sloppy," Fox allows, wrinkling his nose, and downs the calf. "It's good calf, and he isn't about to waste it. Lightsabers are a hell of a lot lighter than a vibro sword, maybe even a vibro blade." Mace hums, thoughtful, and ignores the increasing intensity of Kenobi's peak. "Commander Thier told me you're a skilled swordsman already," he says. "Perhaps you would like to learn how to use a lightsaber as well, in case the opportunity ever presents itself again."
Kenobi's deadly stare could probably kill a lesser man at 20 paces.
Mace, thankfully, is entirely unaffected, and Fox is hardly about to let that cow him after years of dealing with Vader. He grins, sharp, and curls a hand over Mace's knee, stroking slow circles against the inside of it that make Mace's gaze darken faintly.
"I think I'd like that," he says. "Offering to teach me personally, Mace? If I manage to teach Depa, I believe I should be able to manage a lesson with you," Mace says, pitch to carry, just as the doors slide open.
"I was an excellent student, my old master." Depa looks immensely unbothered as she sweeps in, Gray trailing her. "However, I believe you'll have an entirely different set of problems if you're teaching the good commander." She pauses, looking Kenobi over, and then smirks.
"Don't you dare," Kenobi tells her.
Depa smiles like a Nexu in front of a wounded Nerf, sinking down into her seat. "What a delightful reminder of the past," she says merrily. "Has the 212th seen you yet? How do they feel about having a general who looks like he's a fresh-faced 12? Mace is very determinedly not looking at them, but Fox can feel the desperate amusement he's radiating. It turns his whole face into something soft, something bright, and Fox doesn't want to look away, not for anything.
"Cody's coming to the meeting, right?" he asks.
And Mace very obviously swallows a sound of amusement, leaning in a little more to help hide his expression. Because he's endlessly helpful and accommodating, Fox reaches up and slides his fingers lightly over the nape of Mace's neck and draws him down further, until all he can see is the curve of Mace's mouth, his warm, dark eyes.
"I believe," Mace says, grave, "that Master Kolar is currently helping him get down from where you treed him. But after that, he should be present."
"Little wood rat,"
Fox says disdainfully. He couldn't even face me like a man.
Plasma swords can be rather intimidating,
Mace observes, over the sound of Deppa's laughter and Kenobi's offense.
All the more reason to learn to handle them well.
Yeah? Fox asks, and lets the hand on Mace's knee slide up. Not under his robes, not with Deppa in the room, but the thought is there, and he knows Mace is thinking about the same thing by the way his breath catches.
I'm pretty sure I just showed you I can handle a sword. Can prove the well part anytime you want.
Mace makes a sound of amusement, and when Fox drags his fingertips lightly over Mace's skin, he closes his eyes and doesn't quite lean into it, but also doesn't lean away.
I'm already willing to believe that without proof. Not that I would object to first-hand experience.
If you are not talking about actual swords, Kenobi says with some horror, I'm going to find a way to throw myself out the window.
No Jedi has ever died by falling out a window,
Mace says, dry, and sits up. Fox regretfully lets him go, though he keeps one hand curled around Mace's thigh. Since Mace doesn't exactly seem like he's in a hurry to pull away. No, Kenobi allows, but it's the fastest way out of the room. You were seeing Master Qui-Gon. Fox bares his teeth, more than able to remember the particulars of their conversation in the garden.
About time he upgrades, then,
he says pointedly, and Kenobi's expression twists into offense. Deppa chuckles, though, leaning back in her seat and crossing her legs at the knee. Caleb will be delighted, she tells Fox. He's always been particularly admiring of your armor, Commander. Gray pulls a very deliberate face, making his opinion of this indignity clear. And Fox snorts.
Be more creative and make it an actual competition, if you hate it that much,
he tells Gray, and settles a little more comfortably in Mace's chair. It's squishy. He likes it even more than Palpatine's chair up in his office, partly because it has Mace perched on the arm, right within touching range, but not entirely. Be less of an asshole and it'd improve the whole paint job, Gray shoots back, then stops, mouth clicking shut. He winces and says, sorry, sirs. Fox rolls his eyes because clearly Mace doesn't care, and Deppa just thinks it's funny, and no one gives a damn what Kenobi thinks. Or, well, Fox doesn't, and he may be projecting.
It's quite all right, Commander,
Mace says, proving Fox right yet again. Before Fox can rub that in Gray's face, though, the door opens, and Fox is entirely distracted by the sight of Cody. Not Cody in armor, but Cody in Jedi robes, his hair sticking up in wet spikes, his expression caught somewhere between embarrassment and deep annoyance as he stalks in. The robes are about the right size, which is surprising, considering that Aegon, entering behind him, is taller than even Mace. Not his robes, then, Fox concludes with some disappointment, but clearly enough to get Cody thinking about wearing his robes. Or maybe they attempted it before realizing that Jango wasn't exactly a tall man, and all the genetic tinkering the Kaminoans did didn't change that. Either way, Fox got his revenge, so he's content with that. Cody's mortification is more than enough to feed him, even if it isn't quite enough to make up for the missed opportunity for a perfect kiss. Gray takes one look at Cody and is overcome by a coughing fit, too, which means he and Fox just became allies. Cody gives Gray, and then Fox, twin dirty looks, turns, stops dead, staring at his general with something torn between horror and glee rising. Kenobi crosses his arms over his chest, silently daring him to comment. It doesn't do anything but add to the fact that he looks like a petulant teenager.
Sir, Cody says, deeply amused. Commander, Kenobi returns, annoyed. I see Master Kolar hemmed his robes for you. Cody's expression shifts to annoyance, but before he can respond, Agen says, They are Quinlan's. He has the room right next to mine and was most accommodating. Quinlan is in the temple? Kenobi demands, outright horror on his face, and one hand instantly goes to his clean-shaven face. Yes, sir, Cody says, and Fox marks the fact that the mention of Vos doesn't even make him color slightly. But the hand Agen rests on his shoulder immediately makes him flush. I told him you were having some troubles, sir. He volunteered to help you with a trim if you need it. I'm sure he did. Kenobi eyes the window like he's reconsidering it as an escape route. Fox snorts, resettling himself. The sheer width of the chair makes him think it could fit two people easily, especially if one of those people was on the other's lap. He eyes Mace's perch consideringly. The urge to tug him sideways and right down into Fox's lap is strong, but having an audience makes the thought less fun. Slightly. Something to consider when they're alone, he tells himself, just before a burst of pain in his head makes him flinch. In the same moment, Mace hisses, reaching up to press the heel of his hand to his temple. Master? Deppa asks, and in a moment she's up out of her chair, just as there's a chime. She pauses, but Agen touches his comm, bringing up the alert as Kenobi and Cody both lean over to see it. The Chancellor just published orders, Agen says, frowning. They must have been on a timed release. A way to avoid his death stopping their enactment, perhaps. Fox tries half-heartedly not to radiate smugness too visibly. Orders? Deppa asks and touches Mace's shoulder. Something impactful in the scope of the galaxy, apparently. Master, Shatterpoints? The unfamiliar term makes Fox look at Mace, just in time to see him nod. The orders? He asks Agen. Agen isn't looking up, his gaze still on the words displayed in the air before him as he scrolls through with a flick of his fingers. They're reforms to the Senate, he says with a frown. Anti-corruption measures, the formation of several new committees to oversee the execution of them, a restructuring of the admission process for planets, a removal of all guilds and trade organizations from positions of influence, all well within the Chancellor's power given the emergency powers that have been granted him, but... Unexpected, Mace confirms, given Chancellor Palpatine's unwillingness to enact reforms before this. Another motive for his murder, perhaps, Kenobi offers, concerned. If anyone corrupt knew this was coming, they would have plenty of reason to remove him. Fox, magnanimously, lets the understanding remain, trying not to let his smugness hit critical mass. Maybe, Mace allows. I'll return to the Senate later today and see what I can find. I'm sure Commander Thier will help me. I can help too, Fox says, because he's not about to let Thier steal his time with Mace. They already seem friendly, and Fox isn't jealous, but he's more than willing to put himself bodily between Mace and Thier if it'll get him a little more time with Mace. Your assistance will be invaluable, but I should remind you that you're still on bed rest, technically. Though I notice you don't seem willing to stay there. Mace says, faintly amused, faintly concerned, and Fox drags his fingertips in little circles on Mace's thigh with a light hum. I can think of one thing that would get me back into bed without argument, he offers, and Mace snorts quietly. Once my investigation is over for the day, he offers, soft, and Fox grins. Dinner in my quarters? He asks, and Mace inclines his head. Privacy, he says dryly. Seems like a novel and lovely thing. Given that they're currently being stared at by at least 4 sets of eyes, Fox is inclined to agree. The only one who's minding his own business is Aegon, and he's still focused on Palpatine's orders. Well, Fox's orders, but no one else needs to know that. He backdated them, so no one ever will know. There are more coming, too, and Fox is more than willing to distract Mace from whatever headache they'll potentially cause. It's one sword he's happy to throw himself upon. Literally, if he has to. Though getting Mace on his sword has also been a long-time dream.
Tonight, then, Mace says, low.
And Fox leans in, tugs him down, presses their foreheads together. Tonight, he agrees, already plotting the best way to bribe the refectory into sending him back to the Senate with some real food for them, instead of whatever plain rations Fox would normally grab from the guard mess. Maybe he'll nick those candles Skywalker was trying to set up in a conference room, too. They should still be in the evidence locker Fox tossed them into out of sheer irritation. And romantic isn't something Fox has experienced at, but for Mace, he's more than willing to try.
Sounds like a date, he says,
and Mace closes his eyes, leans into Fox, and it's everything Fox has ever wanted, all falling perfectly into place.
A date.
Mace agrees, and Fox pegs Cody square in the forehead with his empty calf cup before the bastard can start clapping again. He doesn't even have to move away from Mace to do it.